Alrighty, what I want to share with you today is talking about the reward of confidence, the reward of confidence. This passage of Scripture was always something very special to me. When I first moved back here to Iowa, I did some radio ministry, and then also I was traveling as an evangelist teacher. And, you know, this passage of Scripture, probably in the first little bit, was one that I probably preached on more than any other. I wanted to see the church, you know, rise up and not pull back from God. Because a lot of times, you know, people have a tendency in their life to go so far with God, and then when it gets uncomfortable, they pull back. And they quit and they run back to the old way sometimes, even that far. So we're going to look at today that what does it mean to look beyond the situation and see the solution. And see, that's something that's not easy, but we have to learn that. And how do we get to that place in our walk where we're not moved by what we see all the time? You know, if we're just living our life based on our five senses, then we're going to miss out on really some of the things or a lot of the things that God really has for us, because we need to go deeper. You know, we need to develop that unwavering confidence that will take us through those hard times, because everybody has hard times. You know, don't think just that you're doing something wrong because things are going bad sometimes. Because that's sometimes this lie of the devil. I'm not saying, you know, it's because we don't do stupid stuff, because we all do stupid stuff, right? We sometimes open the door. But not all the time. Sometimes it's just because the devil don't like us and, you know, and that's just the way it is. And we're going to look at some people that kind of had that going on in their life in the book of Hebrews. So if you turn to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 to 39, and it says, "Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, He who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but to those who have faith to the preserving of the soul." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given us to live in these last days, that we're called for such a time as this. That, Lord, I thank you that faith is rising up inside of each and every one of us, Lord, that we want to press on to the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, right now I thank you for the gift you put inside of me, Lord. I want to yield to that gift and I want to use it for your glory. Lord, let the words both pierce and penetrate leave my lips, and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. Notice I didn't say amen and amen. Amen. Some people have been asking me why I do that, and I say, I don't know. I just do it. So today I did it different. Amen and amen. Well, I just did it. Oh, well. Anyway, everybody has their own little deals they do. We're quirky people, aren't we? At least I know I am. All right. So the first thing we're going to look at today is talking about your confidence. Now, in the natural, some people are more confident than others, right? Some people just seems like they can have confidence in everything they do. They never doubt their movements or anything like that. But, you know, not everybody's like that. So sometimes we have to try to develop our confidence and to help us to be better at the things we're called to do. Now, the word confidence, I'm going to flip a Greek word on you right here. And I think I got it close. Parisia. Ooh, parisia. I don't know if that's right. But anyway, I like doing that. And it's talking about confidence or boldness, particularly in speaking. It's talking about freedom or frankness when we're speaking. So, it's confidence is something that I think is that we need to be bold and to wear our confidence in our mouth. You have to wear it in your mouth. And you have to watch the things that are coming out of your mouth and the things that we're saying to ourselves and to other people. Now, it's hard to do sometimes because we live in a negative world, and the writer of Hebrews... many people don't know who it is. Some think it was Paul. I don't know. I know the Holy Spirit was the one behind it. Amen. He said, the Bible says he inspired them to write these scriptures. So I don't get hung up on who wrote it. I just thank you. I know that God was in it and I'm for it. Amen. And we need to get to that place. Now, the writer of this book was encouraging people who are suffering great persecution, because the church, from time to time, had great persecution coming against them. Now, we know by the name of the book, Hebrews, that should clue us in a little bit. This was written to Jewish people who had walked away from the Jewish religion and started to follow Jesus Christ. Now, that's a big step in some cultures, especially in this culture. Because when they made that step, decision, it kind of cut them off from a lot of different things. And today we call those people either completed Jews or messianic Jews. I just call them Christians. Amen? I think that's good enough for everybody. But that's what some people who are technical try to do it. So what was going on here is that persecution was getting really intense. And so that some of them, during the persecution, started to pull away from Jesus Christ and to go back in the old ways, to play it easy, shall we say. They were tired of bad things happening to them in their life. And I think we all can probably know somebody that we know that come to Jesus Christ, and then maybe things got a little hard for them, and they went back into the old world. You know, that's just between them and God, you know, so we don't try to sort all that stuff out. That's a God problem, not an our problem, amen? We just try to renew them back. Now, here's some attacks that they were going through that's stated in verse 32 to verse 34. There was great conflict of sufferings. So they were suffering from some by the conflict and the things going around them. They were called out and made public spectacles. How many likes to be called out in public and made fun of? Well, that's what happened to them. Also, now this one's going to hit a little harder to home, especially if you own property right now. Seizure of your property. So if you own some property, some land or a home or something, they were taking that away from you. Because you remember in the Jewish religion that when you were born into a family, say the family of Judah, well, Judah had this parcel of land, shall we say, set up for him by God, that land always stayed in the family. Well, when these people walked out of Judaism and went into Christianity, they turned their back on their roots, shall we say, and so they forfeited everything that they had. I don't know about that, but that kind of hits a little home. Could we really walk away from everything and have confidence that Jesus Christ is the way? That's what these people were having to deal with. Now today, we kind of, I don't know, lack of a better term, we're kind of cupcakes sometime, aren't we? Snowflakes, cupcakes, whatever kind of cake. I read a Facebook post the other day about someone was just going on and on about how they were just having a hard day. Now, I didn't know them good enough, but if I did, I'd have said, you know, it takes a fine time to leave me Lucille. I thought that's where they were going. They were singing some country song or something, you know. 400 children and a crop in the field, you know. And then later on, things turned around for them a little bit, so they were happy again. But, you know, I read something that's a little more riveting. I shared some of this information, I think, this year in 2017 already. But it comes from Open Doors Ministry, about how our brothers and sisters in the Lord and other foreign countries are experiencing real persecution, different than Facebook persecution, because there's a difference. Every month, 322 Christians are killed for their faith. There's also, on top of that, 722 acts of violence that are committed against Christians. And there are 214 churches and Christian properties that are destroyed. So that's kind of what's going on around the world right now, because the enemy is mad. The devil is mad. The closer and the farther we get to the end, the heat's going to get turned up, because he knows that his time is short. And that's why a lot of this persecution sometimes is getting more intense and intense at the things going on. Now in our passage that we was looking at, that these Hebrews were going through, is that they're family and friends turned on them, right? That's what happened. I don't know, maybe you would think that's a good thing. You know, depends what kind of family you're in, right? You know, but most of us probably like our family. But it's like you're all of a sudden, you're dead to them. You're done. As well as that, if you were a business person and you were selling things, and they knew that you had become a Christian, the people wouldn't come and buy their stuff from you. So it hurt you financially. So there was a lot of things that were going on in these Hebrews' life that the writer was trying to get them fired back up again. Because we live in a real world, don't we? Real things go on in our life. And these are things that we have to deal with. We can come in here and raise our hands and sing hallelujah and sort of dance a little bit and, you know, enjoy the presence of God, which we all should do. But then when we go out there, we know that there's things waiting for us, things that we have to deal with. And that's what the writer here was encouraging them to be able how to fight these things off. And that's what we're going to look at today. So basically what had happened here to these Hebrew people was that the hounds of hell had been released against them. And that's what it was to be a Christian at that time. Now, I'll be honest with you, I've never really had a lot of persecution in my life. You know, I mean, maybe at work, somebody'd sneer at me and make fun of me. And, you know, maybe at some old family gatherings, different places, when you start talking about Jesus, you know, people roll their eyes. I can handle that. That's nothing, you know. But, I mean, this is kind of thing, you know, that when it comes against you, it makes you think a little bit. You know, and what happened, the way it's kind of worded here in the passage, is that they had some early attacks, then things kind of laid low for a little bit, and now the attacks had come again. And that's sometimes the way that the enemy works. He'll come at us all at once, pull back, and then he'll come at us all again and try to get us off our game. Now, the writer here said to overcome these attacks, you did it before, and you can do it again. And that's what I think, that we need to also remember things. I was cleaning out my office at home. I started a new office. My wife took over my one office, and that's all good. Because I work out of a laptop, and she likes the desktop the best. But that office, we've had books stacked upon books. I mean, bookshelves too deep. Couldn't get to anything. So yesterday afternoon, I set up a different bookshelf in my new office, which was my kids' old bedroom, which they moved to college, so now I got an extra room, glory to God. And that's my prayer room, office. I mean, it's kind of nice in there now. I don't want to boast or nothing, but, you know, because I know that's not good, but I enjoy it. And as I was going through all these books and papers, I found so many old things that, you know, I've written things down over, you know, I've been saved over 30 years, and I found this little spiral boat notebook about this tall back when I could see real good. That's what I used to preach out of sometimes. This little book about that tall. And I just write down a couple little things and just go on my way, preaching the gospel. Then I found this other thing, you know, that I'm not as proud of. I found my 2015 dream book. I got this idea I was going to do a dream book. Well, opened it up, only filled out one page. Must not have had a lot of dreams that year. I don't know. You know, I kind of felt kind of bad, you know. I hear I didn't follow through with what I was going to do. Because I listened to this one thing and I was going to really do it and must have got busy or something. So, but it was good going down memory lane, but remembering some good things. And that's what the writer was trying to get us to do. So I encourage you to take some notes of your life when you see God come into your life and do something in your life. Jot it down, date it. If God gives you some kind of revelation, you know, keep track of those things. It's good to go back and remember God's faithfulness in our life and to see what He has done in our life. Because when those attacks come, and that's what the book of Psalms is about. David was just talking. He was just getting very candid about things that was going on in his life. How Saul was chasing him everywhere. And how he just served God. And he was getting kind of mad sometimes. And then he'd get over. And then he'd start glorifying God. And just being real with God. And, you know, I think that's good. And just kind of remembering God's faithfulness. So this passage, when it talks about, is to speak out boldly. And something that I shared the other day is the fact that sometimes you have to say it so, even though it isn't so yet. And that's talking about wearing your confidence in your mouth. You know, saying what God says about the situation. What you feel that God is telling you in your life. And sometimes, you know, the hardest person to talk into at first is you, right? You know, you got to talk yourself into it a little bit. Well, God says, you know, this is the way it is, and that's the way it's going to be, even though the circumstances don't look that way. So then you start to release your faith and start to walk that way. And as we wear our confidence in our mouth, then we start to see things happen. Now, usually, when we're under attack, we speak the problem, don't we? Come on, be honest. You can probably elbow somebody that says, yep, you're just like that. Yep, you do that every time. You know, and we're all like that. You know, we need to start speaking the solution because, you know, there's a benefit it talks about that we're going to go into is the great reward. It's not just a reward, but we get a great reward. Now, that brings us down to my next point, the idea of endurance. Now, this is something that we don't like to. Now, this is what happens in between. Everybody has the in-between times, the gap. There's always a gap in our life. And what happens, it says, the word endurance here in the Greek is talking about, refers to that quality of character which does not allow one to surrender to circumstances or give up under trial. And see, that's what endurance is about, and that's what we got to have. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes endurance is hard. You know, I'll be honest, I know I don't look like it, but I'm a sprinter more than a jogger. You know, I'd rather run for 20 steps, at least to the refrigerator and back, than have to jog somewhere. You know, as I got older, I just don't enjoy jogging. It's more jiggling, you know, from time to time. And, you know, and I'll jog and I'll be running and I'll watch my watch. I'll set a time at how far I'm going to run. So I'm better at looking at blocks. I'm going to run to the end of that block and back or something than I am about, you know, watching my clock, because after 2 or 3 minutes of jogging, I don't like it no more. Then it gets into endurance. Then I say, at my age, I have nothing to prove. So then I quit. But see, that's not the attitude we can have with the things of God. We can't just go part way and pull back and say, oh, God will bless me. You know, I live by grace, you know, praise God. And I do believe in grace. But my view of grace is it's God's power coming into us to help us to overcome. You know, I preach an overcoming gospel, that we are called to overcome the attacks that come our way. And so endurance is needed after we've done the will of God. Maybe you're out there and you're doing the things of God. And, you know, I remember some people in my life back when I first got started in Christianity. And, you know, they've said, well, you know, I still remember this girl's face. We was in Bible school. And, you know, and she was just always talking all the time. And she didn't say a lot of things that were spiritual, but I think she got straightened out. But, you know, she said, I just try God. I told God I'm just going to try Him. Try God. Okay. The way I see it, we do God. We don't try God. You know what I mean? You just don't try it. I mean, what is that all about? The devil's going to make sure you don't succeed. You know, you got to do God. You know, to be a Christian, you know, we have to develop stamina. And stamina is one of those things, and it's talking about staying power. Because sometimes there's that gap that you and I get into of when we're living our life down here and we're doing the things that God's called us to do, and maybe we've been involved in something and going for it, and that gap as we're doing the will of God, and there's that gap from the time that we do what we're supposed to do till the time that we receive the promise. So there's that area of time there. That is something that I think is where many times we lose the battle from time to time. And we need to get to the place where we learn how to win all the time. So there's that gap between the time we release and the time we receive. There's a gap. It's always a gap there. You know, a lot of people would love to say, amen, there it is. But it don't work that way all the time, does it? Sometimes. I've said amen and there it is. But more times than in my life, I'll be honest with you, it's not that way. I say, may amen, and then I wait. And then I have to be patient. Then I have to have endurance. And I have to stand on what the promises of God are and hang in there. And if you hang in there, you will win. So the time we receive that gap is that we receive our promise to our harvest. So what do we say during the gap? And this is where, remember, we wear our confidence in our mouth, right? We wear our confidence in our mouth, and that's where we started. And it talks about what we say. Well, what do we say during the gap moment? And what we say is very important, because I've watched this many times in myself and others. Now, if we speak doubt and unbelief, you know, we can undo all the good we've done. That's just the way it is. You know, it's like, you know, spraying Roundup on a growing plant that you really want to live. Now, this year I sprayed a little Roundup, and evidently my sprayer nozzle was a little off. You know what I'm saying? All of a sudden, after I took care of my business, this much extra was dead around the house. I believe in God, it's going to come back. You know, if it don't, we'll do something different. But, you know, my sprayer nozzle was a little off. So I killed it. I killed something I didn't want to kill. Fortunately, I got the bad stuff too. But I killed some good stuff. And see, that's what sometimes happens when we speak these things out of our mouth. And we get into trouble. It's kind of like, you know, coming here on, this is a plug for Saturday morning prayer at 9 a.m. here at River Life Family Worship Center. Amen. You know, come in and pray for an hour with us. We sing a song, we pray, we have a real good time. But it's like if you come in here and, you know, you pray and you believe God for something, say, God, I thank you that, you know, something good is going to happen. And, you know, I just put an application in. I'm wanting a better job. And God, I thank you that I put this application in, that favor surrounds me like a shield, Lord. And, you know, I'm just going to have favor between God and man. And Lord, I thank you. I got that job. Amen. We all say, amen. Everybody in the prayer meeting. Well, then you go out to the car. You and the missus. I'm not going to get that job. I don't stand a chance. I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough. They're going to pick that other person over me. Well, what just happened to your prayer? We just undermined it, didn't we? Now, fortunately, we have a God that is graceful. He can work with us even in our ignorance. But for the most part, I believe it's only responsible for us to learn that we have to keep our mouth lined up with confidence, you know, and to head that way, so that we can be able to receive what was promised. And that gets me to my last point, which is don't shrink back. Don't shrink back. What does it mean to shrink back? Now, when I looked at this, it kind of opened my eyes. I've never really looked at this passage in this way, even though I'd preached it quite a few times. The word shrink there is talking about to haul down or to lower, like you lower a sail. And I never really looked at that, or I had forgotten it. Amen. Like I said, that's one of the good things about getting older. You forget stuff, so you learn it again. It's all new, right? But some of you older people maybe got that. I don't know. But I've never done a lot of sailing. I'm not really much on water. But it does paint a vivid picture to me. If you picture a sailboat out in the middle of the ocean, and you see it there with that sail just catching all the wind, and being able to go very fast. But what happens if you take the sail down? No resistance there. The boat stops. Just laying dead in the water. And what the writer here is telling the people is, you know, you can't take your sail down. Now, when a storm comes, I did a little bit of reading on this. As we know, when a storm comes, we know that the wind picks up and the waves get higher, right? Now, I don't know if any of you have been out in the ocean before. I have, not in a sailboat to my knowledge. But I've been out there when we was missionarying in Greece, and we went out to different islands. And it's unnerving for me as a flatlander in Iowa to look all directions and there's just water. You know what I mean? I just ain't something I'm used to. I respect the water. I respect two natural things, water and space. Don't really want to go under the water. I don't really want to go up in space that bad. I'd be all right if I could, you know, beam me up like Star Trek. You know, I wouldn't mind that. But far as this taking a long trip in a spaceship for several years to get some destination doesn't sound like fun to me. So out there in the water, you just look around, and could you imagine if a storm come up and you was in a little boat with a sail, what that would be like? But see, that's what it's like in life sometimes. We're out there in life, and sometimes we're out there in our little boat, maybe a little dinghy or whatever they call them, and the storm comes up, and our first, if you're a good sailor, you would drop your sail, because if you have your full sail up there and the wind comes up so strong, it's going to just destroy you. But here in this passage of Scripture, it's going against the laws of nature because it's leaving the natural and going into the supernatural. He's saying, don't take your sail down. Yes, the attacks are bad. but leave your sail up. Let the wind of the Spirit take you to where it needs to go. Don't shrink back. Don't pull back from God. Don't give up. Don't look to the circumstances, but look to what God has already told you in your heart. Remember back when He delivered you from this and from that? Hold on to that, but don't shrink back. And see, that's what we need to get to in our life, that we're not pulling back, you know, from the things of God, that we're not dropping our sail and not wanting to keep on moving with God. You know, we can only go as far in God as our faith will take us. Amen. And that's a fact. That's why it's important that we develop our faith, that we grow our faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. You know, so being able to get the word of God, to get our mind renewed to the word of God, so that we don't think just as a natural person thinks, but we start to see how God sees things. And then it opens up a new realm for us. Like I always said, I don't understand how a black cow can eat green grass and make white milk, but God made it so, didn't He? He did. There's a lot of things that we're not going to understand with our mind, but we're going to have to understand it with our spirit, because we are spirit beings. Man is a spirit, and he lives in a body, spirit, soul, and body. You know, we're a spirit being. When we're born again, our spirit is renewed. That's why the Bible says that our spirit is made new. I'm sorry, our spirit is made new, and then our soul, which is our mind, needs to be renewed, and that's an ongoing process. And then we live in a body, the shell, which we know that passeth away. But our spirit and soul is going to live forever somewhere. So that's why it's important that we tend to business and make sure we got her done. See, God says in the passage there that He says He has no pleasure in us if we shrink back. Now, it's not works righteousness. It's not about, you know, showing God how good you are. But I do know this. I do want to please my Heavenly Father. I do want to please Him. So I just ask God to give me the grace and the faith that I need. And I develop my faith. And I keep trying to press on and push in more and more and more into the things that God has for me. And see, that's the difference, is the fact that, you know, there comes a time in every Christian's walk where we got to make our stand. If you're going to take the next step, if you're going to get to the next level, you're going to have to make your stand. And you're going to have to stand strong upon the Word of God to pass that test so you can get to the next place where God wants you to be. That's why faith is so important in the kingdom of God. That's why we stress, you know, reading the Bible every day, praying every day, stay close to God, because the world is trying to brainwash us. And I'll be honest, the most powerful thing that brainwashes us is religion. Religion will talk you out of more things than, you know, the devil will. And that's a fact. So never underestimate religious spirits and the lies that where man try to put God in a box. You know, the God I serve, you can't put Him in a box. Amen. He's bigger than that. And He can bring us through to the other side. So just have faith. Don't shrink back. Stand your ground and just press through. Amen. Let's pray.